Today is the 1st of October, 2016, and today is Saturday, and it's around 8 o'clock in the morning, and since we worship on Saturday, no, I'm just kidding, we don't think that you have to worship on any particular day. There's a lot of people out there that are Sabbatarians. They say that you must keep the Sabbath day holy. And I've yet to meet anyone that has perfectly kept the Sabbath day. And I'm 62 years old. So if you know of anybody that has perfectly kept the Sabbath day, if you could introduce me to them, I'd appreciate that. But we believe that we're under a new covenant, a new and better covenant, and our Sabbath is Christ. We're resting in Christ. Christ is our Sabbath, and we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about rest. Rest. You know, we all need rest. We get tired. We get exhausted. I drove all the way to Tulsa yesterday morning at about 4:45, and then after my doctor's appointment, drove back to Fineville, Missouri. So I'm a little tired this morning, but Christ is our rest from a spiritual standpoint. And so anyway, the first song we're going to sing is in the old school hymnal 69, page 69, and it's called "Sweetly Resting," and it's taken from the 94th Psalm, the 22nd verse. And if you want to look that up, you're welcome to do so. Okay. In the rifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered I abide. There are no foes nor storms molesting, while within the cleft I hide. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. Long pursued by sin and Satan, weary, sad, I long for rest. But I found this heavenly shelter, opened in my Savior's breast. Praise surpasseth understanding, joy the world can never give. Now in Jesus I am finding, in His smiles of love I live. In the rifted rock I'll hide me, till the storm of life is past. All secure in this blessed refuge, needing not the fiercest blast. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. Of course, we can't just make a decision to hide ourselves in Him. You know, He said, for you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. In fact, He told us that we've been chosen in Him from the foundation of the world. And that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, the next one is we're going to sing is 164, called Conquering Love. Conquering Love. Love. The voice of my beloved spake and sweetly said to me, arise, my love, the world forsake, and come away with me. For lo, the winter now is past, the chilling winds are o'er. The sweet springtime has come at last, the sun shines out once more. The flowers now are sending out the breathlessly perfume. The hillsides echo with a shout, the birds their songs resume. The turtles of their supper voice to sing her maker's praise. Come now and let your heart rejoice, your voice and rapture raise. The fig tree put forth her figs, the vines with grapes abound. The buds adorn the tender twigs, the hills with grass are crowned. Arise, my love, and come away, my fair one, hear my voice. In darkness now the longer stay, in holy light rejoice. Tis my desire to dwell below, with him my husband friend. Of this vain world I go, to his abode ascend. And there amid that holy throng I hope to find a place, while endless ages roll along to rest in his embrace.
Resting in his embrace. Okay, the last one we're going to sing before we move over to the other part of the service is in the Psalter, and it's on page 61, Psalm 139a.
Lord, thou hast searched me, thou hast known my rising and my sitting down, and from afar thou knowest well the very thoughts that in me dwell. Thou knowest all the ways I plan, my path and lying down dost scan. For in my tongue no word can be, but lo, Lord, 'tis known to thee. Behind me, for me, thou dost stand, and lay on me thy mighty hand. Such knowledge is for me too strange, and high beyond my utmost range. Where shall I from thy spirit flee, or from my presence hidden be? In heaven thou art, if there I fly, in this abode, if there I lie.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this time that we can be as a family and worship around your word, and worship you, for you're the rock of our salvation. You're the spirit in which all fullness dwells. We pray that you would take your word, we pray that you would apply it to our hearts today, and we pray that something might be said that would honor and glorify you. We ask these things in your name. Well, for a long time, there's been a lot of animosity and a lot of arguments and everything over the Sabbath and, worship of the Sabbath and so on. We see in Genesis 2:3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that he, in it, he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And you know, I want to just set forth a question and maybe an affirmation with it, but I believe this with all my heart. We see that God did make the heavens in 6 days. A lot of people don't believe that, of course. Exodus 20:11, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherein the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, why can we say that Jesus Christ is our rest? Why can we say that Jesus Christ is our Sabbath? Well, I want to go back now and again, I want to just read this, and I want you to listen to this. Genesis 2:3. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. What happened when, and I'm speaking to God's elect, I'm speaking to those who have been quickened by his Spirit and have been shown that Jesus Christ is their perfect sacrifice, he's their sin bearer, and he is their hope, he has imparted faith in them to believe the gospel, and that they believe that that gospel is for them. Okay, what happened when that event happened in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul to believe these things? You ceased from all your works, didn't you? You no longer were involved in work salvation. You ceased from all your works. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. And that includes trying to keep the Sabbath. You know, trying not to pick corn on the Sabbath. That includes that. You know, Galatians says that it is either grace or it is no more work. Grace is grace, or works is works. In other words, you can't have both. Okay? Now, you know, let me ask you a question. As a believer in Christ, do you work? Do you work to fulfill any righteousness in yourself? Or does your ceasing from physical labor make you more righteous? You ever thought about that? Does your ceasing from physical labor make you more righteous? Or does your setting apart one specific day make you more righteous? No. We're under a new and better covenant. We're under the New Testament. We're under the covenant of grace. And God says to us, you know, as it relates to the world system, come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. What is the unclean thing? Trying to be involved in work salvation, you know? Roman Catholic Church is trying to now make it a national law that you have to worship on Sunday, or at least you have to. They call it a family day. Family day. Look, our rest is not in a day. Our rest is not in a ritual. Our rest is not in a work. Our rest is in the living Son of God, who saved us, who gave himself for us. You know, he told them in Deuteronomy 12:9, you are not as yet come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. Look, if we have a rest, if we have a Sabbath, that Sabbath is not in any day, that Sabbath is not in any ritual, that Sabbath is not any work, that Sabbath is Christ. In the rifted rock, I'm resting, you know? And so, you know, our proclamation is all to all Seventh-day Adventists and to all Sabbatarians and all those who are trusting in their works righteousness to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch. No longer under the old school law. You know, the law is a taskmaster which brought us to Christ, and now we are living in the law of love, a higher law, the law of faith. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so you have all these people setting forth all these rules. You know, what it actually is, folks, what it actually is, it's another way for man to control another man, isn't it? Yes. Just like Roman Catholicism wants to control their adherents and their members, that they have to come to Mass, they have to go and confess their sins to a priest, they have to do all these different works, right? You have to go and say Hail Mary so many times, do the rosary and all this stuff. That's not rest. That is bondage. That is the most fierce bondage that's imaginable. Okay? But in Christ we have a rest that nobody else can even imagine. There was a passage in the Bible when it says that there were certain men that came down to spy out our liberties. Okay. Are people spying out your liberties this morning? Are they trying to tell you that you have to do this and this and this and this and this and this? Look, Jesus Christ fulfilled all righteousness. When he said at the cross, "It is finished," what did he do? He sat down. He rested. And he is now seated at the right hand of God. His work is complete. There's not a thing we can do to add to his completed work. And there's a lot of people that want to add to it, don't they? They want to set out that you have to do this, or you have to do that, or you have to do something else, you know. You have to, you know, there's certain things you have to do. No, Christ did it all. You know, we need to remember that song, Jesus paid it all. You know, Jesus paid it all. We're not paying for anything. And our rest is not found in works. We cannot find any rest in works. Christ said that he's fulfilled all righteousness. And, you know, I think that when we look at Scripture, you know, look what he says in the 30th chapter of Isaiah, 15th verse. "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." And you would not. There's certain people that don't want to rest in Christ. They want to rest in all these other things. You know? And, but Isaiah 32:18 says, "My people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places." Quiet resting places. Are you resting in quiet resting places today in the love, an unconditional love of Christ? Or are you trying to put stipulations upon what you say is your salvation? You know, is that look at Isaiah 66:1. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? You know, a lot of people are building these great synagogues and statues, synagogues and temples and mausoleums, and they say that's where they go to. That's where they go to find God. But here Isaiah the prophet said, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Are we resting in Christ today? Are we resting in what he said? Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's where our rest is. And, you know, in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, 2nd verse says, thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The only rest we have is given to us by Christ. That's the only rest we have, not in works of righteousness that we have done. Okay, not in works of righteousness that we have done, but through his own precious blood he has saved us. He has brought us out of bondage and given us liberty in Christ. For man shall be free, he shall, none shall make you, you shall be free indeed, scripture tells us. You know, has God made you free indeed from the bondage of sin and sorrow? Are you trying to purchase righteousness of Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in something other than Jesus Christ? Or maybe you're saying Christ plus. You know, they talk about health plus or Visa plus or unleaded plus. Something added to it. No, there's nothing added to the gospel. The gospel is what it is. It is complete. It is finished. And that is our rest. That is our... He was our substitute. He bore our sins for us. We're not under double jeopardy. We don't stay... He hasn't paid the price, and then we have to go and work out our own salvation through our labors. We work our salvation out through resting in Christ. You know, Matthew 11:28 again and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know, remember what happens to those that are seeking after the things of this world and so on, and are involved in all this these lies of the New Age and Luciferian doctrine and everything. Matthew 12:43 says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Are you in the wilderness today? Are you walking through dry places, seeking rest and finding none? Are you seeking rest in your own works? You know? And this is something that we have to realize that Christ is our rest. You know? And there's so many people that are so in chaos. They're in chaos, trying to do all these things to please God, to supplicate God. That's what Martin Luther said he did. You know, he even took a whip and whipped himself and crawled upstairs with bloody stairs and bloodying his knees until he found the scripture that said, the just shall live by faith. You know? And so, there is a rest. You know, it's amazing because Christ has given us great promises for resting. And we are restored, which is another form of the word rest. We are restored. Our soul is restored. You know, isn't that what the psalmist said? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's resting, folks. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth rest. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. Anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a lot of people talking about restoring the kingdom of Israel on this earth, thinking that's going to give them rest. You know, that's not going to give anybody rest. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars, and so on. Acts 2:26 says, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Isn't that what Job said? Yes. Yeah, we rest in the hope of eternal life. We're looking forward to that day when the restitution of all things, which God has spoken, Acts 3:21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. And so, you know, that is exactly what he told us, and he repeats it again in the New Testament church, the same thing that he said in the Old Testament in Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Notice in Acts 9:31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost was multiplied. When we're resting in Christ, we have the comfort of the Holy Ghost multiplied, don't we? And when we start getting into works and all kinds of other things, when we're trying to set rules for everybody else and how they should live their life and who should baptize them and where they should go to church and and all of this, look, Jesus Christ is the one who elected us. He predestinated us. In fact, it tells us in Romans 11:7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. The election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. You know? If God has not given us rest, we have no rest. Period. There's no rest outside of Christ. And anyway, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, we're told, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Is the power of Christ resting upon you? Is the power of Christ resting upon me? And are we resting up in on the power of Christ? It's the question at hand. You know, we have much comfort when we find our rest and our Sabbath in Christ. What happened, and by the way, I believe this is still today in Hebrews 3:11. I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Okay? And who are the ones that are not entering into his rest, according to Hebrews 3:18? Who are the ones that are not truly keeping his Sabbath? Who are the true Sabbath breakers today? Well, he says in Hebrews 3:18, and to whom swear he they should not enter in his rest, but to them that believe not. What is it they don't believe? Well, they don't believe they're one of his. They don't believe that he's accomplished the work that he said he's done. They don't believe the work is finished. They believe that the work applies to everyone but for themselves. They may believe that, or they may believe that that he died, but they still have to do something, like, you know, go to a brick and mortar building or become a member of some established religion or whatever. Now look in Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. Are you coming short of entering into the Sabbath of Christ? Hebrews 4:3. For we have believed, do enter into rest, as he says. I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You know, we think we can do something to work our way into salvation. Hebrews 4:4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Hebrews 4:5, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Look at Hebrews 4:8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? And how do we enter into his rest? Well, he said in Hebrews 4:9, there remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. He that entereth into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. There's your proof positive that we're no longer under the old law service of keeping a certain day. Paul says, you know, don't set out certain holy days, one over the other, and so on. And so here's what he tells us: he that is centered into his rest, he also sees from his work, because God did it from his. Hebrews 4:11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Listen. I want you to know that if you're working to try to work out your salvation with works, by keeping the Sabbath, by trusting in your baptism, by trusting in your church membership, by trusting in sacraments, the Lord's Supper, by trusting in anything other than the completed work of Christ, this is called unbelief, is what it's called. You're not entering into the rest of Christ. You're not entering into the Sabbath of Christ. Again, just to repeat this, Hebrews 4:10. For he that is entered into his rest, he saw also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. What did God do on the sixth day? He ceased from his works. What should we do when we are quickened by the Holy Spirit and we have been given the light to see the glorious gospel in our hearts? We should cease from our works. So let us remember that Christ is our Sabbath. Do we have a final selection today?
What made it worth?
What is it again?
Grace in the Charming Sound of 184.
Okay, I have waylaid my book somewhere. Grace is a charming sound, harmonious to the ear, heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the saints shall hear. Grace first contrived the way to save rebellious man, and all the steps that grace displayed, which drew the wondrous plan. Grace first inscribed my name in God's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb, who all my sorrows took. Grace led my roving feet to tread the heavenly roads, and new surprise each hour I meet, while pressing on to God. Grace taught my soul to pray, and made my eyes o'erflow. 'Twas grace that kept me to this day, and will not let me go. Grace all the work shall crown through everlasting days. It lays in heaven the topmost stones, and well deserves the praise. Well, I hope everyone that hears this has a blessed time of worship, whenever it is, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And I hope that you're worshiping in spirit and in truth. Now tomorrow, which happens to be Sunday, we're going to go up to Joplin in fellowship with Michael Smith, a sister church. It's a Sovereign Grace Church in Joplin. I was telling Michael Smith, you know, Weatherby Pineville Church considers ourselves to be a sister church of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Joplin. We consider ourselves to be a sister church to some primitive Baptist churches who are not conditionalists. Conditions on salvation. We consider ourselves to be a sister church of some old school Baptists. You know, there's a lot of people that over the years have tried to cast aspersions on Weatherby Pineville House Church. And that's okay. Because we're resting in Christ. We're not resting in man's religion. We're resting in Christ. And you know something, the Bible says to be get ready to give an answer to everyone of the faith that lies within us. And so that's what I'm going to do here this morning as kind of a conclusion to this resting in Christ that we've been talking about. Brother Michael Smith is getting ready to do a series on the church, and he's asked for questions from different people that they might have regarding the offices of the church, the leadership of the church, what it comprises of, the local, and also the pattern of the New Testament church. And we have that outlined in Scripture. I'm sure during the New Testament church age, there were probably differences in each of the churches out there. I don't think they were rubber stamps. Okay, I don't think that you have one church at Ephesus and you have one at Thessalonica and you have a church at, you know, Corinth, and then you had a church at Rome and a church at wherever, okay, the church might be, whether it was Thyatira or, you know, and I'm sure they were all a little different. And, you know, we know that problem was going on because Paul said, well, you say I'm of Paul, you say I'm of Apollos, you say I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Others say I'm of Christ. Look, Weatherby Pineville House Church proclaims one thing and one thing alone, and that is that we are of Christ. You know, we don't take on any names. There's not any titles over our doors. Like I've said many times, if you come, you're welcome to worship here in Little Pineville Weatherby Church anytime we happen to have the doors open, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, or Sunday. And you don't have to have a necktie when you come, or a suit. And you don't have to have, you know, fancy clothes to come and dress up for God when you come here. And you don't have to put on any pretenses, and we don't pass any offering plates around. There's not even a basket sitting over where you can put money in a basket or in a box. Okay? We don't need your money. Okay? But we'd love to fellowship with you. Just be sure and call before you want to come and fellowship. And the number is 417-435-2616. Just call and say, we'd like to fellowship with you sometime. And just we'll set up a time. We'll set up a date to have fellowship. Like I said, it could be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. But anyway, I just wanted to say, you know, people often ask me, well, how is it that you came to preach? You've got over these 1,000 sermons. You have no seminary instruction. You don't have any certificate. You don't have a license. You don't have a license to preach. And you only have 3 members in your church. Well, Christ said, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. So if something happened to one of the other members of the church, well, that'd still leave us 2, wouldn't it? So that still means that God is going to be in the midst of us. So what happened is we were worshiping in Kansas City Friendly Baptist Church, and we had some doctrinal differences that we thought were crucial. And they didn't like what we stood for, and we didn't necessarily like what they stood for. I was an ordained deacon in that church because I wouldn't go along with their councils. It says they'll throw you out of the councils. Isn't that what it says? I was excommunicated, okay, from that. And it was one of the greatest things that God ever did for me, is excommunicating me out of the Kansas City Friendly Baptist Church. Thank you. Thank you, Kansas City Friendly Baptist Church, for excommunicating me. I appreciate it. The Lord be praised and honored in it. Because we couldn't find any place to worship. And so God called me to not only minister to my family, but He called me to minister to the heathen. Like Paul, I conferred not with flesh and blood. You know, I didn't go around seeking ordination in somebody's church. I realized that the scripture is clear that where 2 or 3 are gathered, He's in the midst of us. So I just started proclaiming the gospel right here in our house and on sermon audio. And that's been 10 years ago. And there's a lot of people who say, well, your ministry isn't valid. You got to take your sermons down off sermon. I don't know how many people told me that I need to take my sermons down off sermon audio. But you know what? I didn't confer with flesh and blood in that either. And so God has honored us for obeying Him and His call. And we're thankful that God has sustained us all these years. it's a blessing. Just like today, it's a blessing to be here with my family, worshiping and resting in Christ. And people say, well, do you have a valid baptism? Well, I believe my baptism is valid. You know, I've been baptized. Let's see. I don't know how many times Rosette's been baptized, but I've been baptized. See, I was baptized in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, which isn't baptism, it's throwing water on you. And then I was baptized in the Southern Baptist Church. And then I was baptized in the Primitive Baptist Church. And I believe that the baptism was of faith. In other words, I was trusting. Now, see, when I discovered that the Southern Baptist Church were free willers, they really didn't believe, even though the minister told me he believed in sovereign grace. The Southern Baptist Church doesn't believe in sovereign grace. They believe in free will, Arminianism. And so when I went in the Primitive Baptist Church, I was trusting only in the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ for me and for his completed work on the cross. And I believe it was given faith to believe that he'd done that for me. When I went under the waters of baptism, I didn't believe he did it for somebody else. I believe he did it for me. And same thing, I have the testimony and confession of Rosette and Mark that they believe the same thing. And so we didn't need to get rebaptized to be a part of the Pineville Weatherby Church because we'd already been baptized. Okay. And so anyway, I just wanted to give that explanation out, give that shout out to everybody. That's the origin. And I can just hear people now. You know, I can just hear people now. Well, then you're not actually properly ordained. You don't actually have a proper church. Well, I'm not trusting in works. I'm trusting in resting in Christ for my salvation. I'm trusting in being called by Christ to proclaim his gospel among the heathen and as well as among the believers. And I conferred not with flesh and blood. And if you don't like that answer, talk to the good Lord about it. Okay? All right. I wanted to at least give that out to people, that shout out. But we believe that we're a sister church of many of those of like faith and practice. God bless you.